season 5, episode 6 of the Decoded Podcast. It's our spooktacular edition. And you're wearing orange and black, or your hat looks black. I don't know if it is. Yeah, it's black.
It is. Okay.
So happy Halloween to you. I did not get to... I was not in any elementary school yesterday. Actually, I wasn't in any school yesterday. The morning was working from home, making calls and in meetings. And then the afternoon, I was at the board office for a meeting. And it's funny, the little kitchenette outside the room that I was working in, it was decorated all Halloween style, just like in elementary school. So that was nice. But that was the extent of my Halloween at school. And my wife, who I never talk about on the podcast, but now it's the second week in a row, she gave me the side eye yesterday. Mm-hmm. She's like, are you missing any of this? Like this whole Halloween go to school dressed up. I'm like, I am missing, you know, there is some fun around it. Obviously it makes for a different day. I can say that now, not being in the classroom, but when you're in the classroom, the kids are bonkers, right? Like they are wound and they are just ready to explode. And most of them, there's some that come to school very sad and very, you know, they don't feel that spirit. And we have to look out for them too. So this is the spooktacular edition of the Decoded Podcast. I don't think we probably have over the years talked about near Halloween. I don't know. I can't remember any of those episodes because, you know, we have so many.
We do. We're very festive.
Okay, so I want to start off with something I saw on Twitter that's just like, dude, I'm laughing. It's killing me. I don't know what to do with it. So this teacher on Twitter, okay, this individual says, I'm new to Twitter and I'm here to do the learning or whatever. And people start follow. So that's the only tweet. Actually, you know what? I'm actually going to get the tweet because I want to do some justice here. Here we go. So this person, there's no profile description for this person. Okay. And it says the only tweet is October 24th. Excited to start my teacher Twitter. Where are all my awesome teachers at? Hashtag teacher Twitter, hashtag teaching, hashtag teacher, hashtag teacher tips. Okay. So there is no profile description. So we don't know what this person does. I'm assuming this person's a teacher. This person has 322 followers, has put out one tweet, and is currently following nobody. And I just don't understand. Like, I don't understand. So can you explain it to me, Chris? Like, do you have an understanding? What am I missing? Because the way I see it, and you know what? I'm wrong all the time, right? So this is just one other time that I'm wrong or misinformed or whatever. I've even responded to the tweet. I jokingly said, I can't wait to see who the first person you follow is going to be. No response to the tweet. Didn't even like the tweet. In fact, I looked through all the tweets the other day. So who knows how many more tweets there have been. But I looked through and this individual didn't like anybody's tweet to them. This individual didn't respond to anybody in the thread.
There were 100 comments. There were 100 comments the other day to the original tweet. So I didn't notice any. I didn't notice any likes to any of the comments. A few different things that brings to mind. And thank you for finding this. I can, full disclosure, I am very messy with my Twitter use. I leave, I come and go as I please. I really am. I really do. I will erase my tweets. I will, and it's just because, like, I've gone through that where there's an app that you can use to clear out your whole Twitter feed, and I've done that. I've used that before. I've left, come back, not used, then used. I've stopped sort of asking for the understanding of my Twitter space people for any sort of I'd call it permission. It's not really the word, but I don't outsource my accounting or my accountability to anybody else. I want to leave, I leave, and then I'll come back and then I'll refollow you. My last account I closed because someone messed with it. So that was the only time out of maybe five or six times of me opening and shutting my Twitter account. So one of five times that actually was for a safety security reason that I thought time to sort of just change my behavior, get rid of the account. And then I came back. So on one hand, hey, there's an addiction worth unpacking on some episode somewhere down the road, but I'll be the first to admit that I'm atypical. Sorry. I think I'm atypical in the way that I use Twitter. Kind of underneath that is still the belief that if I choose to engage with someone, with a human, in social media, I am building towards a possible. I'm always thinking I haven't met this human face to face yet, but I could. And that's, I think about that. I still hold that. And I think I told you this way back in the day. I don't follow just for the information. I follow for the person too. So if I don't get a sense of who you are, kind of what you're rocking, what you're representing, the good, the bad, the gray zone. If I don't have a sense of that, I tend to lose traction and I kind of let it go. Let the person go. Actually, I don't even know if the person's a person at that point, because if they haven't interacted or sort of provided something of themselves, for me, I just feel like I don't have a connection there. So again, I think I'm atypical in the way that I use Twitter. So I like to say that as a starting point, just because I give that grace to this individual right now, that they could be atypical. Second thing I'll put in there, I guess this person could be busy. I guess they could be busy. 5-6 days ago, they post up this one tweet. That seems strange. I guess it seems strange because of the way that we use social media. Not too many people treat it like email. Because typically, you know, some people in my circles take up to 5-6 days to get an email back to me. So that does happen. It feels like it's moving in an opposite direction, like you're using it in a different way. The third thing that I started to consider is there's a whole lot of people right now that are overwhelmed with their educational contexts. So maybe they really wish they had time. They're not reaching out though because they haven't made it back to the platform. Next thing, I got a little bit I'm thinking about. They don't owe me anything. They don't owe me an explanation. They don't owe anyone that follows them an explanation. They don't have to explain how they're doing it. So for me to sort of expect, that's my ego looking to think like somehow I can force feed myself from their experience. Like I can sort of take from their space and they owe me an explanation as to how they're using Twitter or anything else, how they're using this. And the final thing that's interesting to me is, and this is kind of a different thing, but I think it's connected. You and I have talked about the whole, you know, follow this person tactic because they're awesome and they've just started. So we've seen other individuals that have that have influence, high follower count, some clout, as they say. Upping other people's accounts that are new to Twitter. And in doing so, you know, you and I have talked about how, at least from our path through using Twitter, we've sort of have a sense of the work it takes to build those relationships. And somehow someone boosting an account that hasn't invested at all is kind of like getting credit on somebody else's work. So, you know, here's my friend Mikey's on Twitter. You know, I appreciate y'all for sort of being a part of my learning world. But you know what? If you appreciate me, you should sign up for Mikey's account too. And all of a sudden, Mikey goes from zero to hero with 1,000 followers, but no content, no sharing, no nothing other than, you know, the back scratch from somebody with more clout. Now, I'm connecting this into a similar genre. Somehow this person was able to gather 300 and change followers from doing that for themselves. Like, hey, I'm new, which on one hand is kind of hopeful. Like, that's kind of like a positive, hopeful thing that someone could just kind of like Kramer into the sort of like, hey, how's it going? And then one's like, I want to follow you. I, you know what? You got moxie. I'm gonna follow you just because of that. I think at the end of all this, I'm still wondering bot or not. That's my final thing to this, bot or not. Because I will say 6 days now, 5-6 days is a long time to in the least post up a thank you. In the least, a thank you. And really, I don't know, this is where it's like, yeah, bot or not. I guess you could send up a bot to say thank you. Thank you for following. Thank you for following. IFTTT does that, right? Someone follows you, it sends them a thank you note. Thanks for following me. So yeah. maybe not a bot, but it's in the weird zone, right? It's in the weird zone. A benefit of the doubt, assume positive intention, bot or not. that could be a new segment.
It sounds like our
new security software being released by Decoded Podcast.
Nice. Add it to the list.
Add it to the list. Bot or not. How is that not a thing? Maybe it is.
Well, it might be. I'll let you Google it while I blab about my PayPal issue.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So I woke up one morning the other day, and I had two emails from PayPal. The first email said that a new email address has been added to my account. A new primary email address had been added to my account, which I didn't do. And then the second email said that two-factor authentication had been activated on my account, which meant that whoever, whatever had control of my account, whenever they would want to sign in, they would have, a number messaged to their cell phone or a phone call made to their home phone or landline, which meant I had no control now of my account. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the first thing I do is look through my PayPal emails to see what was the last thing I bought, just so that, you know, when you do talk to someone or you do try to prove it's your account, one of the questions is what were your last two purchases or something like this. So
yeah,
I do that and I start to think, uh-oh, like, whatever this is has access to my credit card information now, right? And my address and all kinds of piece of information. So I look online to see what to do in this situation, because every time I go to solve the problem, there is a solution on the internet, but the solution won't work for me because I'm completely locked out of my account. It's mm-hmm. not that I forgot my password or my login. It's that someone has changed those authenticators. So I don't even know what they are anymore. I have no clue what they would be. It's gone. It's over. Wouldn't recognize. And I did have that primary email address, but then I thought, if that email is a phishing email, then I'm jumping into the pond. And I'm not interested in doing that. So I was avoiding that. So I exhaust like the internet. I can't find any answers on PayPal. And so I find a phone number, which I'll tell you was not easy to get either. You're going to love this. on the PayPal site, when you click on call us, it brings you to their login page. They're like, you should log in first so that we know everything about you when we talk to you on the phone. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I can't even, you want me to call you, but I have to log in first? This is ridiculous. So I do some more snooping on the internet and I find the PayPal phone number, which wasn't easy. It was not obvious or easy to get. I get it and I call. And right now I'm at home and it's like 6:30 in the morning, 7 a.m. in the morning. They're closed. They're not open until 9 a.m. Eastern time, which blows me away that a place like PayPal doesn't have operators available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because of the nature of their work or whatever. But anyway, so I call them, and getting to an agent was next to impossible. It's one of those AI systems. Tell me what you're here for. And I'm like, I want to speak to an agent. What is the problem? Log in. They go through a list of stuff. Are any of these your issue? I want to speak to an agent. Dude, I must have answered like 50 questions before they're like, oh, we're going to get you an agent now. Agent comes on the phone and you can imagine I'm ready to kill somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm like, the guy was really polite as he's supposed to be. And I said, listen, lots of great questions here, but I can't get in. Like I believe my login and my password have both been changed. And so I tell him, I got an email, said this, then I got an email, said that. He's like, okay. He asked me some security questions. I was able to answer them, no problem. And then he's like, I will reactivate your account. So he went into my account, turned off the two-factor authentication, reset my email to the email that I wanted, and then told me how to turn on two-factor authentication so I could do it myself, which I did. So I'm good now. Mm-hmm. I've told this story to like half a dozen people, and I've told maybe three people face-to-face and three people virtually, and the face-to-face people literally pulled out their phone and were logging into their PayPal account to turn on their two-factor authentication as I'm telling them the story. They're like, this sucks, dude. Did anybody buy anything? Did you? And I said, well, I looked and I didn't see any suspicious activity. Like it would have told me recent purchases. And I mean, maybe it was still too early, but long story short, that, you know, they're pulling out their phones to go in there and turn on this two-factor authentication. And the people that I didn't speak to face-to-face said the same thing. They're like, we're going to do it right now. This is ridiculous that a person, a machine, bought or not, was able to sneak into my account and like literally block me out. Because sometimes you get a message that says, did you try to change your password or did you try to log into your account from Hong Kong? And it's like, nope. So then you go into whatever account it is and you change the password. But mm-hmm. I couldn't even get into my account. It is the most horrible feeling to know you have no control over what just happened. Mm-hmm. And it's a reminder to me. So PayPal is, I think, the only site where I allow the software to save my credit card number. Because, you know, like when I buy, like if I go to buy something Canadian Tire online, you enter in your information, then it says, do you want us to save this credit card information to make it easier next time? I always say no. I'm like, no, it won't be easier next time, especially if somebody gets in here and has access to it. So there's my PayPal story. But another bot or not story. I don't know. Like, it's got to be a machine doing this, right? Like, it's not a human. It's not a human. It's got to be software or something that's been written to do these things.
Yeah, likely.
Yeah, likely. I mean, if it is a human, I'd love to meet them because I think it's fantastic that they can do these things. But
yeah, I think that's sort of like part of the like data farming, like just people that have software that has the ability to kind of just go through susceptible systems and find, you know, weak systems. Like that's, I think that's just where what happens. This week I had to get, I think I told you about this. I had to go get some blood work done, and this lab that I went to, they don't do face-to-face booking anymore. So you're forced to go online and book through their website. You can call, but calling doesn't assure that you're going to get a human. Like, you'll wait online for quite a bit of time. And, you know, I'm standing. So getting this blood work, it wasn't on the list of things to do this past week. It just kind of happened. And my doctor said, hey, get this done. We're going to do some other tests. I was like, okay, cool. So I go online and I'm thinking to myself, there's no way I'm going to get an appointment this week. Right. And, you know, I think, this week I had this week off, the fall break. I was like, there's no way that's going to work. You don't get to call the doctor's office at the last minute and get an appointment, right? It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen to me. That's not my life. So, but I go on the website and there's an appointment available at, so I'm doing this on a Tuesday, and there's an appointment available on the Wednesday for like 10:10. I'm like, I'm going for it. Why not? I'll take it. And like, there's nothing else for 2 or 3 weeks. But I'm not thinking much of it at the time. I get to the appointment and the person said, you're not on the list. They had a printed list. So they were kind of doing there was a lineup out front of the lab. You didn't even get to go in. We're all lined up outside the lab. And then I said, well, I just made it yesterday. And they said, oh, you must have had a cancellation. So they go in, they had a printed page. And, you know, the only way you can refresh a printed page is to go print out another page. You can't just hit the refresh on the screen and say, oh, new person signed up. So they go in, they bring out a fresh page. I'm like, oh, there. They said, there you are. No joke, dude. Within 5 minutes. So I was there a little bit early. Within 5 minutes, 10 people showed up trying to get appointments. Some of them were actually in the line with me. And I think they sort of overheard part of the conversation, but I think they thought I made an appointment right then because of all the talking. Because most people are just like, they'd walk up to the nurse and say, I have a 10 o'clock, I have a 9:30. Like, okay. But there was a whole lot of talking I did. So people just half listening, I'm sure, were thinking, oh, dude got to make an appointment. And they probably heard the, I just made it yesterday kind of a thing. People are opportunizing that. I'd be half listening to that conversation. But here's where, you know, it kind of connects with your experience. There were people rolling up saying, well, I was just dropped off, or like everyone had a seemingly good reason to try and get in that day. And some people also saying, well, I don't have a computer. And, you know, I've called and I waited online for an hour and nobody picked up. I was feeling for those people that like, that bites. Because it's funny when you say, you know, not being able to talk to a person, like that was an issue pre-COVID with our, you know, the AI answering machines. That was pre-COVID. And I feel like in some ways it's gotten worse. Like it's gotten even either by volume of calls or by the way they bury the menus. So you have to go through 22 menus before you can actually find, or instability in the system you get hung up on for seemingly no reason. But I think that's a bot. I think they're like, okay, we've given this person X number of tries. I was thinking about that. Like some people, I'm figuring they don't have a way. They don't have a way to do the thing that will get them what they need. They actually can't just go home or from their phone right there, eh? How many times have you been? You saw my photos posted up from this past week. I went to that haunted Halloween walk near my house. It was really cool. And So we booked that. It was free through the city, but we booked that last week. I don't know. And we went online and we book it. And there were people right there walking up to the front of the path. And the person saying to them, did you book? And they're like, oh, no. And they were going right onto their phone right there in line and doing it. Like, they're booking while they're in line. So they didn't even have to go home. Right. And that's where I felt for some of these people that are not technologically, they're not leveraged in that way. So they can't even like go out to their car and let's say phone the lab and say, hey, can I get an appointment? Because it would save me. I would rather drive a half an hour now to another lab than to, you know, wait 4 or 5 days and try and get an appointment directly at this lab here. It was kind of mind blowing. So your PayPal experience sucks. But I think it's also part of a bigger kind of Internet of Things conversation. The Internet of Things.
Sometimes it's so frustrating to connect with a human. The one day I went to Walmart to get my groceries, we do the click and collect thing. Mm-hmm. So I back in, I let them know I'm there. They bring out the food, they put it in the trunk, and I drive away. And the one day I get home, get out of the car, pop the trunk, and there is the biggest bag of cat food I've ever seen in my life.
Dude, I still have the jumbo jar of olives. You should see this thing. It actually is. I have a large head. It's the same size as my head. It's sitting up there. Manzanilla olives stuffed with
those red
pepper.
Yeah.
I got the same thing.
And so there's the biggest bag of cat food I've ever seen. And bales of like hay for like rabbit food, guinea pig food.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is weird. But you know what? This is funny too. The first thing I thought was, I guess my wife is doing something with her class.
Well, that's right, because you don't do the ordering. You do the pickup.
I do the pickup, but I'm thinking, okay, there's got to be a reason.
Yeah.
It's really weird. So I bring everything in. And anyway, put the stuff away. And I see my wife and I'm like, hey, like, would you mind telling me what all the cat food and the hay is for? And she's like, excuse me? I'm like, come see what I brought home from Walmart. So she looks and she's like, that's not ours. We didn't order that. I'm like, okay. So I think she tried to call and talk to a human. It wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't work. She couldn't find anybody. So she had to go out and do something. So she put the stuff in her car and she went back to Walmart. Parked the car at the click and collect, popped the trunk, took all this stuff out, put on the curb, looked at one of the humans and said, we got this in our order today and it's not ours. So I'm leaving it here. Got in her car and drove away. And I was like, did you really do that? She's like, yeah, well, I'm not going in the store. That's why we do click and collect, because we don't want to go in the store. And the phone system won't work. Like we can't get anybody to help us. So I just pulled up and said, you put this in our order. It's not ours. That means somebody else didn't get their cat food and all their guinea pig, rabbit hay or whatever. So they just looked at her and she drove away. Now, the next week or the week after, I get home and my wife is like, where's the such and such? I'm like, that wasn't in the order. Where's this? Basically, we're missing two bags of groceries that we infer or deduce that all comes from a certain section of the store. And so that was missing.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife is like, here we go. So she starts making some calls and finally gets a human. She's like, she's telling them, we did not get all these things. And my wife's like, I don't know how you people do it, but if you did it in a logical way, all these things are coming from the same spot in the store. So you missed it or you put it in somebody else's thing. And they're like, no, ma'am, you got your order. And I'm laughing because I've now become this I've become this like grocery computer. Like so what happens is I pick up the groceries early. I bring them home, I put them away. And then when my wife is up, she'll say, okay, did we get the such and such? Or where did you put the such and such? And I know right away whether we got that or not. I'm like, no, that we didn't get that. Or yeah, it's right over here. And this is right over there. So she's like, she looks at me, she goes, Roland, where did you put the da 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 da? I'm like, we didn't get any of that. She's like, are you sure it's not in the trunk? I'm like, absolutely, we didn't get any of that. So she tells them. So they're like, okay, can you come in like 20 minutes? We'll have it for you. So we get there 20 minutes later. And I recognize the lady. It's the same lady that was the one that dropped, like that put the stuff in my car. And she goes, okay, here are your two bags of whatever. And I'm like, okay, thanks. And I'm like, I didn't get those, you know. And then my wife says, and you know, a couple of weeks ago, we got like the biggest bag of cat food and animal hay, right? Like we came back, we dropped it off because it wasn't ours. So you guys make mistakes. So don't pretend like you didn't make a mistake. Just fix it. Like just fix it, right? But getting to a human these days, like you said, has become impossible. And with COVID, it's like everybody stand back 10 feet and keep your hands off anything and everything. You know, I read an article recently about when are doctors going to be bringing people back into their offices again, because the whole world's moving again, but family physicians are not. Well, they let everybody in, or do they triage your issue? Because my son has had to go in for one thing, and my other son did a phone call.
I just had done. Was I guess they could be. Office? Yeah, they could. No, they could be triaging it, I guess. But the blood work that I just got done, the doc said, once that blood work's done, you're going to have to come in and we'll have a discussion. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So part of it is there'll be a checkup element to it. So yeah. So they are, at least in my neck of the woods, it's happening.
Well, it may be happening for certain things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know my doctor will see people for certain things, but I've called the doctor a couple of times and it's like, he'll call you at this time on this day. Mm-hmm. Okay. They don't want to see you because you're diseased, but they work with humans. Just like we tried it in teaching. We taught remotely and some people are still teaching remotely and it's a bit of a gong show. So I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know. I'll tell you though, it's nice to be back in the hockey rink where mm-hmm. they let you in if you have your vaccination papers and you're free to walk around the facility just like you were before. The only difference is you're wearing a mask mm-hmm. and you're keeping your distance from people, but it's nice. I like it.
There's a funny little bit. So this past week we took the kids and we went down to the falls. And you know, when you get outside of your bubble, you start to see how kind of like other different mindsets basically. And where we were staying, definitely you could see kind of on full display everyone's comfort zone with current COVID restrictions. We went to Burger King, which was awesome. Haven't been to Burger King in years, let alone, you know, did I ever think I'd be going to one in Niagara Falls. But I enjoyed it. It was good. I like Burger King. I think we were talking, you know, as far as fast food burgers go, I kind of put Burger King and Harvey's above all else. My family likes McDonald's and Wendy's. No sponsorship deals signed as of yet. So we're going into the Burger King and we're expecting it to be just packed. And it's not. Mostly due to the determination and resoluteness of this 16-year-old standing at the door asking people for their vax passports and limiting the number of people that'll come in. So if you're trying to get takeout, doesn't matter how big your group is, one person was allowed in. If you have the group, then obviously everyone has to have their vax passports. And we ended up sitting at, it's kind of like a bench seat that faced out towards Clifton Hill. Like it was right at the window. So we could also see the space, the walk up where people were walking in. And man, there were angry people, dude. There were angry people coming up, you know, they don't have their passport. They don't have their details in order to get in. So that was stunning. It was stunning to sort of see through that. Highlight of that trip, you know, was the pizza place though. And I still got to throw props out to, God, I can't remember. What was it? Frankie's Pizza or Nick's Pizza? Do you remember?
Frankie's Pizza.
I think Frankie's.
I
got to check my history. I think it was Frankie's Pizza.
It's funny that you talk about Burger King, because we recently had Burger King because we're driving home from somewhere and the kids are like, you know what? What is this Burger King thing? Because it's not there. That's the other thing too. I find sometimes when you get caught up, you go to the closest thing or what you know best. And it's like Burger King has never been a big thing here. Like there's only a couple of locations. Maybe there's more. I'm not even sure, but
there was only one in up near us, and it was actually at a movie theater. So I'm always suspect of when you put a kiosk inside of another business that it's actually going to be as good as the standalones. I don't know. It's a weird bias. It's the same reason I'm not a big fan of food courts over actually going to a restaurant. Now, there are some franchises that are only food courts, and bless them, because I love them. I like those ones, because I feel like those, I don't know, my brain just kind of goes, if I have a choice to go to a McDonald's in a food court versus a McDonald's at an actual standalone store, I would probably take the standalone store. I don't, what is that? I don't know what that is, but there seems to be, I don't know, seems more authentic. Authentic McDonald's, what is that even? But yeah, weird.
We got Burger King and it was delicious. It was good. And the boys were like, this is good. I'm like, well, don't like it too much because we don't want to be spending too much time there. But sometimes it's nice to do something different.
Had the Whopper. I'm a fan of the Whopper.
I love the Whopper. It's a delicious burger.
It is. It's a delicious. Would you say sandwich? Do you go so far? Would you say
it's no, a Whopper's a burger.
Okay. Not a sandwich.
Well, I believe burgers are sandwiches, but
gotcha.
It's a type of sandwich.
Yeah, fair enough. There was something else I wanted to. I've started to put more things to the. Actually, I know what I do. You want to talk a little bit about the side eye?
Sure.
Is that a?
I was going to get you to talk about your sandwich and you call that a sandwich with that thing that you ate?
Yeah. So. Okay. My fam, I think last year, so I've taken a lot of cues from you following some food accounts, right? I'm not the sit up after midnight-ish and sort of watch it on YouTube. I like the sort of some of the straight feed. I know. You rock that. Thud Chids is pointing to himself. This guy likes the YouTube feed, pointing to himself with two thumbs. I'm more just like the Instagram posts, and I try and keep it local. Now, admittedly, local for me is also some spaces that I've traveled to. I don't have any food feeds on Insta that I haven't been to that place. So I still have some food feeds, you know, this past year. It's been Montreal, Toronto, been to Waterloo, around where I'm, my region, York region. I got spaces like that. So I think it was maybe 2 years ago, heard about a sandwich shop opening up down in Richmond Hill. And I think it's called Topol, T-O-P-O-L sandwiches. So I'm like, okay, fam, let's do it. We added that to our list. We did a travel down there, had a sandwich. It was delicious. Now, the family there, like the family in another restaurant, another sandwich shop called Bombowich, is of Persian background. Now, I don't have any, I have no grounding in understanding what would be a Persian sandwich. I don't. I just know that both places advertise that they're serving Persian products. So I was like, okay, there's got to be something here to the style of the sandwich. They there was a type of sausage in the sandwich. The torpedo roll up of it was similar in the two places. So again, the two places, Topol Sandwiches down in Richmond Hill, I believe it's Richmond Hill, and then another place where I live, Newmarket, called Bombowich. So Bombowich, I think, has been open for like maybe a year. It's fairly fresh, and it's right beside a place that you and I have visited, the Chez Talal, when we went for falafel sandwiches. So literally, like, you just walk across that parking lot where you and I parked. It was right there. We could have gone right from Chez Talal and went over and had a second sandwich. So I go in there and I order the sandwich and I get their big bomb, and their big bomb is a crusty French stick, like French baguette. And inside there's chopped parsley, there's chopped pickles, there's whatever their bomb sauce is, which is kind of like a mayonnaise-y kind of a base sauce. There's something garlicky in there I couldn't quite figure out. Two different meats. Plus this other kind of sausage that's reminiscent, jambari sausage. Apologies. But it's the same sausage that was in the Topol sandwich shop. The Topol sandwich shop, however, more of their sandwiches, what we saw, had sort of like a tomato-based sauce, a part of it. Some paprika flavor in there, a little bit of cumin, a different flavor profile. The other key connection between the two of them is that they put in potato chip sticks, which I'd never seen before. That's a part of the actual crunch factor in this sandwich. Again, mouth watering now, delicious. I ordered the sandwich, their big bomb. Karen and I were splitting it, so we did a hood nick. We went out, we kind of ate on the hood of the car. We're just sort of talking. The day's nice. I realize I forgot I had ordered a ginger ale, just one drink. So I'm like, I got to go back in again. So I go back in, and they had been sort of watching us because we're parked right in front of the store. We were the only customers that had come in at this particular, it was late lunch. It was like 2:30, quarter to three. So they come back in, and there's two people in there, male, female. I was assuming they were a family or very good friends the way they were interacting when I was in there the first time. The female didn't interact with me. She was on a phone call. It was the dude that I was dealing with. But I come back in, dude's not there. It's the female behind the counter. And as I come in, I get the level one side eye. Level one side eye is a little bit like this. It's hopeful. It's kind of positive. They don't know if I'm, because I ordered from the guy. I didn't order from the gal. The gal didn't know why I would be walking back in. Not necessarily. She would have known that I forgot my ginger ale. Like, that's just, she wasn't a part of the order. So I come back in, and I know this from hospitality, just in general. You know, somebody has the food. They walk back in your store. It could be something good they're going to say. It could be something positive or negative. You don't know. So you've got the sort of, like, you know, the hopeful kind of look, like what this could be. So my lead is, I come in, I'm like, I said, that sandwich is excellent. I'd already finished my half. Karen's still like, this thing was 10 pounds. It felt like a leg in our arms. When I brought it, I'm like, hey, check this out. Feel how heavy this is. She's like, oh my God, that's heavy. And we got half each. So it was good. It was a good amount for me. She's still wrestling with her half out. But props to her. She finished it. Delicious. I come back in, and first I lead with a compliment. I know enough about the moment. I'm going to lead with a compliment. Even though the thing I'm coming in for is no biggie, I want to sort of de-escalate that. It's like, that sandwich was delicious. And I said, just come in. I forgot my ginger ale. I ordered the ginger ale. And the person behind the counter, the woman, at this point I'm realizing that, because she was smiling, but she wasn't directing me very quickly, but she heard ginger ale, and she's like, she directs me to the fridge to grab it myself. No words are really exchanged between she and her to me yet. At which point he comes swinging in from somewhere. I think he was in the back kitchen, and then he sort of was doing some supportive translation. So it becomes a little bit of broken English, and I don't know the language, maybe Farsi. Them rapid fire back and forth, her throwing a few words back my way, him sort of doing the full English and whatever their family, their cultural language is. They're sort of, and it's just like, it's a rapid fire route. He's confirming. He's like, yes, you know, you forgot your pop. Go ahead, have your pop. And then he asked, how was the sandwich? I said, it's excellent. I said, I really love that this style of sandwich has opened up closer to home. At that moment, the hopeful side eye changed a little bit. It went from to this. Because as soon as I said, like, this is, I'm happy that this type of sandwich is now in the neighborhood, all of a sudden they want to know, well, like, where's the other sandwich like this sandwich? And I read that. I'm like, oh no. This is a moment. I know this moment from way, way back in the day when I did my chef's apprenticeship. And I did it in Italian cuisine. The family that I did my apprenticeship with, Italian cuisine. So for all of you out there, I'm Polish-Irish. I am not Italian. So I've been welcomed into this family, and quite often I was the fox in the hen house. So whenever they found out that someone else was doing a good sauce somewhere or a certain kind of style of it, it was the Polish guy that somehow leaked the information. So I got a lot of this side eye. And long, like no blink side eye, just sort of looking at me. So it shifted to that second level of side eye, level two, where it's like, it's not so hopeful anymore. It's a little bit like, okay, now we need to know more. We need to know more. You're not quite in trouble yet. I kept talking, probably a mistake. And I said, well, you know, I said a couple years ago, my family and I, we drove down to, just down to Richmond Hill. And right away, the female jumps in. Oh, so you were either at bump, 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 bump. She names off three different sandwich shops. I couldn't remember the name of the sandwich shop. I'm like, yes, it was Topple. Excellent sandwich, just like yours. I shouldn't have said it that way. As soon as I said excellent, their sandwich was excellent, just like yours, what I probably should have said was, your sandwich is better. I loved your sandwich. I should have never made the comparison, because the side eye went from hopeful to questioning to the mouth came in. And randomly, I'm like, three level side eye. This isn't good. This isn't good. And then I'm having at that point to like, I'm trying to back out because I'm holding. At this point, Karen, I can feel she's looking at me through the window. Like, where's the ginger ale? I need a drink. And I'm trying to sort of back out of the conversation because it's no longer positive. So I managed to get something out like a mumble. I'm like, I'm just so happy that my family can come to you folks now. We will definitely be back. Thanks for the ginger ale. Bye. And I hustle out the door. But it was a three-level side eye. The sandwich was delicious. I realized I'd stepped in it as soon as I started. Like, I shouldn't have made a comparison. I shouldn't have made a comparison. Even though the components were similar, I should have known from my own experience that why would any other sandwich be as good as our sandwich? What are you doing? Like, I betrayed the sandwich trust.
Okay, level one was hopeful. What was level two?
Questioning. They want more information.
And what was level three?
You effed up. Yeah. Yeah, you effed up. So that's, I knew that. And I'm, you know, they're, nothing's going to, I'm not going to be told not to come back. But I'll wait a couple weeks. Get some distance. It was very nice. So when they made here's the thing, and I should have said, I did compliment the time. So while they're making the sandwich, get this, while they're making the sandwich, I didn't sit down. I just kind of stood and I waited. And as soon as I heard, so the dude went to the back, mm-hmm. and I could hear the sandwich being made. Like clank, clank, chop, 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 tack, 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 tack. There was, and you know, that there was business going on in the back kitchen. Something was being made. I could hear some frying going on. I'm like, okay, they're doing a thing here, right? And as I'm waiting, dude comes over and he brings me this little paper cup with some dried fruit. And I think there were some pistachios in there and like these little candies, a little paper cup. And then also gave me some tea. He said, and it was, it's one of those, he puts it down and he didn't say, you know, he sort of dispensed with the typical hospitality. Please enjoy the tea. Please enjoy the tea. He didn't say that. He didn't say, this is for you while you wait. Didn't say that. He brings it. He puts it down on the table that I'm standing beside. And he goes like this. You just kind of just directs me towards it, which I took as like, just that's level hospitality. Like that's for you. Go ahead. Didn't say anything to the point where I stood and was looking at it. I'm like, is the tea for me? And he's like, yeah. He's like, tea's for you, with sort of like a tea's for you. And I was like, I'm not in early trouble here, but it was like, I should have read the cues a little bit better, but it definitely was not what you would say was a, like they were not looking to be the typical pleasantries as far as hosting you are very different. And again, I should have cued back to, you know, working for the Italian family, because often I was yelled at. And if you took that on face level, that would mean you're in trouble. But I was always more fearful when nobody was talking to me and nobody was yelling at me. Like when they didn't talk to me, that was a problem. And this is what cued me up in the side eye, right? The side eye that kind of just like, you had to go talk about the other sandwich. That's what the word stopped. And you know, me like you, maybe not me like you, but me definitely, when my words fail me, I'm in trouble. If I can't talk it through, I'm in trouble. In trouble. And I love, can I just, me sharing this with you, you're like, I love the sandwich. Thanks for the photo. Thanks for the expression of the side eye. And I loved how you spoke of it from like your sort of personal experience. Like you've seen this side eye from inside the group, like an in-group sort of experience of that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So your comment about the side eye brought me right back to a situation when I was a little boy. My father took me somewhere to visit he went to visit a friend who owned like a Middle Eastern store. My dad bought me a falafel sandwich and I bit into it and falafel can be, it can have a bitterness to it.
Absolutely. And the turnip, part of the turnip will do it. Some of the sauces.
Even the actual falafel ball, like the stuff that they put together to fry it,
right.
It can be, it's not sugary, it's savory. And there could be a little bit of bitterness there. Just a tad, like, but yep. Whatever. As a kid, I've told you, and I've learned this, and this is the best thing I've ever learned about science, is that your taste buds change and develop over time. And so as a young person with, you know, undeveloped taste buds, you taste.
Dude, it's a fluency, eh? It's a fluency.
Totally, yeah. And yeah. It's like a spectrum. And so when I was a kid, that the taste of falafel was not one that worked for me. And so anyway, and then now I love falafel. So it's like, I love that taste. But anyway, going back to when I was a kid. So my dad brings me to this place and you know, everybody in there is proud, right? Everybody's so proud of everything. My dad's proud of me. The man's proud of his restaurant / store. Like it's anyway,
a lot of pride.
So I take a lot of BS too, right? Because you know, anyway, so I take a bite and I look at my dad. I'm like, I don't want this. And my dad's looking at me like he's going to give me the Lebanon 1989, which is, I'm holding up my hand. It's like the smack across the head. Like you don't, I mean, my dad rarely did it, but it's the joke in the house. So Lebanon 1989, smack across the head. Like you don't talk like that. You shouldn't be talking like that. So I'm like, Dad, I don't want this. Doesn't taste good. And instantly I get side eye from my dad, like, shut your mouth. This is not the place to talk about this. And then I kind of look over and I get the side eye from the owner of the place who's like, you don't like my falafel? I made this falafel for you. Like that whole, the whole narrative of how can you not like what I've just spent 5 minutes making for you? Yep. And I'm like, oh my God, everybody in here needs to just relax. Like, I'm not a fan of the falafel. Like, give me a break here. But you can't do that in those places. Because then they just look at you. They're like, what do you mean you don't like it? What could possibly be the problem? Mm-hmm. You brought me right back to that time. And then it reminds me of when you were last in Waterloo and we did our food crawl and we went to the Korean fried chicken and you, you walked in to ask a question. And they jumped you like they were, like it was militant how they came at you. Right.
And then I wanted to know the garnish.
Right.
Because we couldn't figure out what the garnish. Yeah. Yeah. No? It's just like, yo, it's just, is this pickled turnip? And they're like, yes, it's turnip. I'm like, okay, thank you. I said, and again, I wasn't even fast enough to lead with a compliment because the chicken was delicious. The it sauce was chicken good, yeah. was it was very good, yeah.
So before I let you go for the day, because I gotta go. Ramona's done cooking turkeys. She just wrote here. She's late to the party today. Good morning. Hello, Ramona. Thanks for coming. Hopefully the turkeys are good. And so hi to Ramona and a shout out to Carlos. Carlos C-Rock.
Yep.
And who was watching us, listening to us one morning this week, and he was saying some very nice things about listening to us or watching us do the podcast.
I'd be curious, maybe if he's listening, I wonder if he's experienced. I can next week talk about the Polish side eye.
Oh my God, I guarantee you, will guarantee you right now that Carlos can talk about the El Salvadorian side eye. Like without, hey, I work with.
And if it's leveled, is there leveled? Because I think it depending on who you are in that relationship, you don't get the levels. Like I think I was gifted with levels, right? They allowed me to a moment to fix it. Sometimes because I'm from the in group, the Dutch mother side eye. There we go. So we know if you're actually a part of the family, you can jump from like level zero to level three right away, and level three can come with some correction. So
I work with Carlos's sister. Mm-hmm. And I've seen her give me the side eye, and I've seen her give other people the side eye. So what's really fascinating is we'll be in a meeting and somebody will say something or somebody will say something to her, and I will see it. I will see it, and I laugh inside because I'm like, it's right there. Like, there's no doubt there's side eye there. So, I'm sure, you know what? I bet, now that I think about it, when Carlos talks about his kids and his nephew, Carlos has a side eye for sure. But anyway, yeah. I like that, Ramona, Dutch mother side eye. I think it's universal, bro. I think the side eye is universal. I'm going to say something I think maybe controversial before I let everybody go for the day, but
light us up.
The ethnic side eye is, oh man, no, this is going to, it seems to me like the ethnic side eye is a lot more natural than the Caucasian side eye. I know it's controversial. It's probably rooted in all kinds of biases. But when I've been with my Caucasian friends and their dad tries to give them the side eye, it's not the same as when I see like an ethnic dad giving the side eye. I don't know. I'm probably being racist.
I'm guessing that, you know, when you talk about the body language, like it's the moment that, you know, you stepped in it, like letting you know you stepped in it. It's the early warning system. They're giving you like a couple seconds grace here, where maybe the person realizes they're about to be triggered by the next thing you say. So they're starting to give you a little bit of that side eye. You, as the reader of that body language, are like, if you're not skilled in it, I know you kind of mentioned maybe you're getting a smack or you're getting a correction of some sort.
I guess I have to say I enjoy the ethnic side eye. There's something about seeing people from a different culture, a different place. I guess I can appreciate the different side eyes. And like you said, the warning systems, the cues.
Yeah.
Like even I see when I'm talking to a parent with a kid beside them, I see it. I'm like, there's the side eye.
Yeah. In the moment, it's funny. I think I was reading more the side eye because it's let's say non-ethnic based. It was a culinary side eye.
I get it. That's fair too.
Because I mean, the truth of it is, let's say we're talking about some pretty heavy duty intersectionality here, dude. Right? Mm-hmm. We could talk about it from an ethnic background. Like, don't even get me started if you're doing ethnic mother teacher side eye. That's complex because there's teacher side eye and culinary, right? Yeah, layer, 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 layer. So the culinary side eye, I think I was reading it as that at the moment.
That's fair.
But there was similar, like there's a side eye book out there that elders read from that you develop, you enter into the you get mentored into the side eye, and I think it's nonpartisan, so you could be in any tone of voice could definitely be a second indicator. Often, you know, it depends on what grace the person giving the side eye is willing to give you, right? They could, yeah. I just playing it back the tape. I saw the three levels, and when I hit level three, I knew I left. I turned and ran.
Good for you.
Yeah, I played it. I played it well.
I'm thinking the name of this episode is going to be called Levels of Side Eye. Beautiful picture of that Jack O'Lantern. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chris, for doing that.
I saw this week someone buying it up Northern Canada, $65 for a pumpkin.
I saw that too.
You saw that, yeah.
So I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, $65. So
I know, I hear the reasons why, but I don't believe they're good enough.
Nope.
I don't, this is just wrong. It's wrong.
Yep.
Well, you can't light me up now. I got to go. So this was season 5, episode 6 mm-hmm. of our spooktacular episode, our Halloween episode.
Our side eye.
Side eye or howdy. I wanted to also call it howdy, but that's an inside howdy. Joke.
Howdy, side eye.
Well, I'm wishing you a great Halloween.
Thank you.
Kids, thank you. Maybe you next week we'll talk about me being that Halloween guy with mm-hmm. the rotten pumpkins and the secondhand candy. We'll have to talk about
and
that
next week. The crap candy. Yeah, the crap candy.
Thanks to Ramona for jumping in, even though she's an hour late. It's okay, Ramona. And Carlos, thanks for listening.
Come as you are, right?
Thanks for listening 3 weeks later. And poor Shref, he probably doesn't even know we exist anymore because I haven't posted up.
Shref's busy in his administrative duties, right?
Shref's busy, man. And if he ever, I don't even know if he listens to us anymore, but if he does, he's going to be upset with me because I'm like 6 episodes behind. But anyway. Okay. Oh, all thanks, right, Ramona. Ramona says happy Halloween. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
We'll catch you later.
Ciao.
Peace.